ABC Radio Australia.
A new report has crunched the numbers and estimated that the financial benefits would be if countries invested in more marine conservation efforts, such as ending overfishing and mangrove restoration in the next 30 years. It suggests that now is a great time to focus on so-called blue recovery, that's investment in the ocean, as countries around the world look for projects to stimulate their economies after the COVID-19 pandemic. The report was carried out by the Ocean Panel, which is a group of 14 world leaders from countries including Australia, Fiji and Palau. And Olai Uladong is Palau's ambassador to the UN and a member of the Ocean Panel, and she spoke to Talia Olatia about the report.
It's a good timing now to have a look at the cost and benefits of conservation. With the current pandemic, the key takeaway is very timely because now with everyone looking at the blue and green recovery, those are the key takeaways, which we have never done for the ocean world. You've done a lot of cost-benefit analysis. For example, if you look at adaptation to climate change and when you look about urban planning, right? The ocean is so big, it's vast. So the intention of this report was to ensure that we look at what looks good economically over the next 10 years when you start revisiting and revising the roadmap on ocean.
And as the ambassador to the UN for Palau and a member of the Ocean Panel, what does blue recovery look like to you?
Right now, okay, the blue recovery, that's sort of the new phase, right? Now we're calling it blue recovery, blue boost, resetting. What does it mean for like the Palau or the islands in the blue recovery? For example, in the economic analysis, you will notice that it was two parts. One is the mangrove restoration. So looking at the mangrove restoration initiatives that are out there, Palau is a tourism industry. Mangrove restoration, there's a need to do it. How do you build back better? That means investing in the tourism industry, but making sure that when you do planning for the next new resorts, that we make sure we have mangrove restoration in place. And then, of course, the unsustainable seafood. In terms of sustainable seafood, how do you build back better and develop greater food security from seafood? That is very important for sustainable development for islands like Palau, and how that ties in with nutrition benefits and outcomes. We know that Palau and like the Pacific, we have an NCD problem. So how do you use this sort of economic analysis to then say, we have to ensure our communities try and live traditionally, but on a sustainable manner, rather than relying on imported seafood. And then I think the building back better needs to look at that, a little bit more innovation about the use of finance. Because as you know, with the COVID-19, you know, finances are now being spent on the healthcare system. And that's very well understood. You know, everything has to be reprogrammed and reshifted. So how do we look at the case for the ocean, but in terms of protection and conservation, the heart of it is health.
As you said, we're going through a global pandemic, which has really decimated both the health and tourism industries in Pacific countries. How hard will it be to encourage Pacific governments to take up some of these initiatives and invest in some of these ideas?
It's very hard now. It's not just the ocean crisis that we're dealing with. If you look now with the climate crisis, everything is in the back burner. The biggest top two issues is a health crisis and a social crisis. It's very, very tough. It's going to take a lot of innovative thinking and resetting of that mindset of what needs to be done. So we need to come back in 2021 with a different narrative, because everyone will still have that lingering effect of the pandemic. So how do you make the case for the ocean challenge the same as the pandemic case? It's very, very difficult. We don't have any answer for any of that. I think the starting point now is having these economic analysis on certain sectors and then enticing the public and private sector to build back better using ocean health.
You know, many Pacific Island leaders say that the onus is on larger countries like the US, China, and even Australia to be making the commitments to help the Pacific Island nations when it comes to climate change. And Australia is a part part of the ocean panel. So do you want to see Australia and those larger countries make more of a commitment when it comes to these recommendations and invest in renewable recovery?
Yes. And because the panel is composed of members from, you know, Japan, Canada, Australia, you know, there's a comfort in looking at this as a sustainable ocean economy. That we are, yes, we agree, we have different vulnerability to climate change, however way you look at it. But there is a common goal to look at sustainable ocean in terms of from the perspective of current and sitting leaders. And the only way we come up and have an agreement on these papers is that we have to have consensus. So where we don't agree, that's for another setting, but where we agree, we move forward. And that is progress.
Now, this report lays out a 30-year plan to achieve a sustainable ocean economy. If you could crystal ball and look into the future, what would you like 2050 to look like?
I would like 2050 to look like we go back to looking at nature and looking at nature-based solutions and appreciating it, that you will still be able to dive and see the beauty of nature, not swimming in an ocean full of marine pollution. I would like to see that. I would like to be able for my children and grandchildren to be able to appreciate what I can still appreciate. And that's investing in what the nature should look like. And that 2050 should be about, we live in a global community and it takes a village to raise a child. And that's, if you live in a village, you're cognizant of your surroundings and you each have a role and a responsibility in that village. If we look at it now, we have to have a role and a responsibility to make sure that we live the world, our ocean, our land. And in 2050, we at least have done so much more for a better picture for our children.